Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to the Bat Pod. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me as always, Joey Galvez.
Hey, how's it going, Bill?
It's going real good. Tonight, we got a great show for you. We have Batman 68, Detective Comics 1001, and Grim Knight One Shot. We're going to have a Stump the Co-Host, and we're going to have a Topic of the Week, and the Topic of the Week is pretty cool. We're doing the top three Batman covers, Batman Detective comic covers, which was pretty hard to do. I had a hard time narrowing it down to three, that's for sure. We're going to head to the books.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
Our first book tonight is Batman number 68, Nightmares Part 6, Solitude. Your writer is Tom King. Your artists are Amanda Connor, Dan Parson, John Timms, and Mikkel Janine. Colorists, Paul Mounts, John Timms, and Jordy Belair. Letterer, Clayton Cowles. Cover, Connor and Mounts. Variant cover, Francisco Matina. Associate editor, Brittany Holzer. Editor, Jamie S. Rich. And of course, Batman was created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger. And then this issue, it's another nightmare. It's the bachelorette party. There yes, a bachelorette party takes place. It is none other than the Fortress of Solitude, which gets pretty wrecked. A really heavy party goes on there at the Fortress of Solitude while Batman and Superman have dinner at Wayne Manor with an ending that starts to lead us to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So what did you think of this nightmare?
Oh, man. Well, number one, it's I don't want to bash anything or anybody that was on this book, but my first impression when I saw this, I was like, whoa, what the heck is this about? I like kind of how we get a little bit of this backstory insight to, like, you know, hey, they were actually excited for this marriage. That part was kind of cool. I don't know if I needed to see just a girl's night, you know what I mean? In the Fortress of Solitude. And I did see that that the girls had a different kind of party than the guys did. You know, it was super awkward and like uncomfortable with Batman and Superman there. You definitely felt the uncomfortability there with the guys.
Oh yeah, because they're usually in a different situation. You're usually out fighting crime or with the Justice League. You know,
yeah,
they're not in a situation where they're eating dinner,
right?
And it's just the two of them. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's interesting. You know, this would have made maybe an annual if you had this bachelorette party, an annual or one shot or something. It would have been kind of interesting. But as a nightmare, we're trying to figure out, this has come out of Batman's head, this nightmare.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out exactly what this nightmare is. And it's another one that's not very straightforward, but I have some thoughts about where this is going.
Okay.
Because obviously, talk about that ending real quick. We see the machine that Bruce is strapped to giving him these nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome looking. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
That was really cool. I think that was the most exciting part of this book. You know, if this was like something like, hey, I'm going to go into the comic shop and pick it up. I mean, obviously, I went and picked it up myself just so we can read it and talk about it. And because sometimes I, it's really a whole lot easier for me to actually have the physical copy to talk about it on air here. But the only thing that I really enjoyed about this book so much was that very last page. And I think I told you about that earlier today that, this book's, I guess this kind of, artwork and this kind of feel of this book is not for everyone. It is cool because you got to see a little bit of a little backstory between the girls and the guys and what the, how excited they actually were for the wedding. You got to see Batman interact with Selina and how he actually, you can actually see the feelings that he actually has for her and stuff, you know? So I enjoyed that, but the rest of the book, it was just,
but
kind
it's
of,
a dream. It's yeah. an, it's a so-called nightmare. It's a dream. So it yeah. didn't actually happen, but maybe in Bruce's head that this is what would have happened. Yeah. This is what I really think. If you look at this whole nightmare scenario, this arc, we're on part six. And if you look at this whole nightmare arc as a bell curve, you know, the nightmares start off hitting pretty heavy. We get to a climax. Now we're starting to come out of that nightmare.
Okay.
We're almost out of it because this isn't a much of a nightmare to me. I mean, a nightmare for Bruce might be, you know, having dinner with Clark and not having anything to talk about how good the soup was or, you know, taking a tour through Wayne Manor.
Yeah.
So I really think this is really he's about out of these nightmares. I mean, out of all the books and last issue, we're not so sure about how it was a nightmare. We made some guesses of what's going on and why that would be nightmarish. Now, every book has been no more a nightmare than this one. This doesn't seem like a nightmare to me. This seems like he's coming out of these nightmares.
Yeah, it's like I said, I would, because that last page, it kind of feels like we're coming out of these nightmares. And I hope that they would give us a little bit more in the next few books here coming up soon. Or what is it? How many more nightmares do they got going on? Is it one or
There's
two more?
There's one more.
One more. They definitely need to be giving us something, you know, showing us how he's going to come out of it, who's actually behind these things. Because in that last page, you don't really, sometimes you can look at the machines and kind of be like, okay, well, that looks like, you know, I don't know, just maybe Hugo Strange's work or something like that. But you can't really tell who orchestrated this from this one page.
Well, if you think about it, Batman has built his mind and body to defeat every scenario. He doesn't necessarily win every scenario, but his mind is trained to do certain things. And you would have to think at some point that, yeah, his mind is being flooded with these nightmares. His fears are coming to life. At some point, he's going to get a handle on this and come out of this. Now, I don't think they are letting him out of this because their goal is to drive him crazy, you know? Mentally break him down.
Every good story kind of shows, you know, the main character, you know, triumphing through this big, fantastic feat that they have to get through to endure to the end, right? That would be the best thing possible here to help happen with Batman. Batman's got to do something. He's got to come out of this somehow, some way. He's making his way because in this one a little bit, I noticed that some of the dialogue kind of it breaks character. It almost breaks that like, I want to say like that fourth wall kind of a thing where it almost feels like it's not talking about the nightmare at all. It's talking about what's happening outside of the nightmare. That moment where he's sitting there with Clark and they're talking back and forth at the table. And I thought that was really interesting. Did you catch that part?
Yeah. That was the one thing I wanted to talk about next. And it's like, maybe, you know, Clark is figuring out Batman. Really figuring out. He knows him.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows him better than Bruce does. You know, because in this dialogue, Clark says, I love being Superman, but I hate that I have to be Superman.
Yeah.
And he says to Bruce, you hate being Batman, but you love that you have to be Batman. Now, we see the love of him have to be Batman. He's good at it.
Yeah.
He has to do it. This wedding with Selina, he has to be Batman.
Yeah,
does
yeah.
that create something that he can't be Batman anymore? Is that where the doubt came in?
Okay.
You know, with the whole situation, beyond it getting broke up by Bane and all his sidekicks, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But what do you think about you hate being Batman? Does he hate the situation with his parents that brought him into this scenario? Because he wouldn't be Batman if not for that scenario. Does he hate having to be Batman for that reason?
I really don't know if he hates being Batman. I think he loves the outcome when he is Batman. You know, he goes out there, he fights the crime, and he fights these crazy, you know, rogues gallery. And he takes him off the street. And I think that's an accomplishment to him. It takes him back to the moment where he, you know, his parents in that alley, he feels like he needs to take that person off the street, what that guy represents. And I think that's kind of, you know, what he likes. Maybe he doesn't like having to be Batman. I don't know if that makes sense, you know, like, cause that's.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't exactly, I'm just trying to figure out what the meaning is right there. But the other thing that I had was, maybe Bruce's nightmare is Clark is figuring him out, you know, okay. Seeing
yeah.
how he works.
Yeah.
Because the face he makes in that panel is like, you got me.
Yeah.
You know me. You got me. So, yeah. So what did you think about the artwork in this book?
You know, I mean, Amanda Connor is a great artist, right?
There's a bunch of artists in this book. In the Fortress of Solitude.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely parts of it is her, but it jumps back and forth.
Yeah, you can tell that it jumps back and forth a little bit. You know, like that part where they're jumping into that pool, it looks a whole lot like her kind of art style. It's great. Her art works great for like Harley Quinn and stuff like that. But I don't want to bash anybody, but she's not one of my favorite artists. Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was okay. I mean, I liked it. I didn't dislike it. I guess it wasn't really too jarring back and forth because it was all pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I did like the variant cover. The variant cover was pretty cool.
Yeah, the variant cover is really good.
Yeah, the one scene that I wanted to mention, you know, where the ladies are having the different wands and they have the description of the different wands.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sorry. The wine that's called Death to Superman Cabernet.
I was just going to talk about that one.
Age unspecified. And it gets poured into a broken glass, it looks like.
Yeah.
And it has a skull on it. Yeah, I'm not drinking that.
Yeah. Some of these are really crazy. Like there's one that says Beetlejuice reached aged 46,000 years. And it looks like some crazy black stuff just being poured out. I was like, yeah, not drinking that one either.
You know, this wasn't the thing about this book is if this wasn't a nightmare issue, it was like a one shot. It was like I was saying before.
Uh-huh.
It is entertaining. But we want to get on with the story, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
That's why it's like, okay, let's get on with it. And that's our biggest thing. And then we get the tease at the end there that we liked. And hopefully we'll get some more next time.
When we get more and more of these nightmare issues, I'm starting to kind of like, well, I don't know if I like it because I'm like ready to move on. I want the rest of the story now. I'm ready to see who's actually behind this. And it's not because of the artwork's horrible. The dialogue's horrible. It's not because of the storyline is just garbage. That's all great stuff. These artists, these creators, they're all great. You know what I mean? They're doing what they love. It's awesome. But I'm ready to move on. As a reader, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want to know a month ago what's going on, what happened, because we skipped over that part.
Yeah, and give us a little bit. Give us a tiny bit of some kind of clues so that we can try to figure something out.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and we're going to head to topic of the week. Welcome to Topic of the Week, and this week we bring in Ronnie Barron from the Nerdy Legion Podcasting Network.
Hello, guys.
How's it going?
Thanks for having me on.
No problem, no problem at all. And we got a pretty good topic this week. It was actually a pretty difficult one. We got top three favorite Batman / detective covers. So you can pick three covers between the Batman titles, detective covers, and... First up, Ronnie, what was your number three?
My number three is Detective 880.
Detective 880.
That's the jock cover with the Joker face with all made up of all the bats.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that one's cool.
You know, it's hard to disagree with you on that one. I mean,
that was like 3A out of 3 A, B, C, D, and E, you know?
Yeah,
that one's really cool. That was a really creepy cover.
His eyes are like bats. Almost like bat signals in his eyes, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, man.
Pretty new cover.
That's the newest one I have, so out of the three I picked, it's one of, like Bill said, it's one of the newest ones that really caught my attention, like, off the shelf at the LCS. I knew it was, I knew it was in my pull box, and I don't look at previews or anything.
Yeah.
So that's still one of the floppies that I pull, and to see it on the LCS wall, it was just awesome.
Yeah, man, that's definitely, that's one of those ones you go in there and it catches your eye so quick. A super creepy one. You know, his lips are kind of pulled back. It's the top half of his face is kind of like, made up of tons and tons of little bats. It is really great cover. I like it. It looks really good.
It's just cool because it's just the orange from his smile and Batman Detective Comics. Oh, yeah. And then the rest is black and white.
Yeah, man. Jock is a great, great artist.
Absolutely. And you know, in the old days, the cover is what you got you to buy the book, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could only afford so much. And you looked at the cover and said, oh, that's a cool cover. I want to read this. So the cover was the attraction.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
In the days of all the alternate, you know, what we have now with the variant covers and whatnot, it sort of gets watered down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. That's actually a good point in my number two. So when we get there.
So, Joey, what was your number three?
So, I got to say this, though, before I start telling you about mine. This was really hard to do. I was telling Bill earlier, I was like, man, this is my stack of books that I wanted to pick from. And he's like, that's not three. I was like, yeah, I know, but I'm going to pick from this stack. I literally, like, I started looking at online and started looking at covers. And then I started, we have that cover to cover book that we're trying to give away here. I started looking through there and all the covers. And then I was like, well, I'm going to just go look through my long box. And I popped open my box and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to pick something from here. And I found tons of them and I had a big stack of things that I wanted to pick, but I couldn't narrow it down to three. So I guess I'm just going to do it on the fly here because I've literally got 5 to 10 of them here in my hands now. But I'm going to go kind of like what Ronnie did. Ronnie went a little bit newer. I'm going to go with a newer one than Ronnie did. Ronnie went with one from 2011. This one's from 2016 and is Batman Europa #1. And it's a Jim Lee cover. It's like purple. It's really cool looking. It's got Batman holding up Joker. Joker's got a knife to him and it's just looks like it's kind of raining. It's this pencil type of artwork. It's a really great cover. I really like that one too. This story was really good too. When I read it, the artwork inside was amazing too. It was just an all around great book. It was only like one of four and they stuck to that. You know, nowadays they're like, oh, we're just going to add one more. But this one was just four books and it was really great.
Okay. I have a question for you.
What's up?
Do you know how to follow directions? We said Batman or Detective. This is a Batman miniseries.
Yeah, it's Batman, dude. It is a Batman book.
Okay.
It's got Batman on the title.
No, it is a nice cover. I do like that cover. It is interesting. There's not a lot of color in it, but you have the green of the Joker's hair, which is kind of cool looking.
Yeah, it's a pretty good looking cover.
Jim Lee. I have not read that one.
It's great. It's a great book, man. Check it out.
Did you read that whole series? Is that
me? Yeah, I read the whole series. I've got all four books right here in my hand now.
Okay. So now,
and so spoiler for spoiler for cover two and one then.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, no, man, I told him. He asked me that. Awesome. He said, can I use all three of these? of something. You send me a picture. And I'm like, no. That doesn't That's make great. Any sense.
I did. I told, I was like, can I use all of these as one?
No. So my number three, and my number three is a book that I've mentioned on here before. It's a book. I love the cover and I love the story inside. And mine is Batman number 321, Jose Luis Garcia.
Oh, I do like that cover.
And it's the Joker's birthday. And you have Batman, Alfred, Robin, Commissioner Gordon on the Joker's birthday cakes with candles.
Which the cake is the Joker's face,
yeah, the
right?
Cake is, yeah. The cake is the Joker's face. It's classic Joker. It reminds you of Batman 66, you know, the traps and everything. And the cover actually, what happens on the cover actually happens in the book.
Wow.
Which there you go.
Is a rarity.
That is a rarity.
Right. Yeah, I love that logo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love the Batman logo.
Yeah, that's a great logo.
But yeah.
Hey, I love these old school covers, man.
Okay, Ronnie, number two.
All right, number two came out when I was 10 in 1988, September to be exact.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually the first Batman I ever bought, and it's Batman 423, the Todd McFarlane cover.
Okay. Ah.
So, when I was 10, my comic shop would have quarter boxes, and I'd take $5 in there and just stack up on quarter comics. But this one was actually new and on the shelf, and it was 75 cents, and I saw that cover, like we were talking about with my number three choice, and I'm like, oh man, I need this one. But that I could buy three comics, but this is just one. Yeah. So, and that started me down my Batman path from then on out.
Yeah, it's a great cape, cover.
The cape on that cover is awesome.
Yes, and the misprint on that cover too. Because if you see right by Batman's eyes, I think Todd colored it also, but there's the little white spot that's supposed to be in yellow from the moon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
But it never got fixed.
That's cool.
Which later on in Spawn 230, he did homage to this cover where he fixed that error, actually.
That's cool. Yeah, man, this is a really great cover. Hey, right now you can pick this cover up for $75 on Amazon.
Yep. Yep. I'm glad that I have the first print still.
Yeah, how much did you pick it up at?
75 cents.
There you go. 75 cents to $75.
Yeah,
man.
Inflation, right?
There you go. So, Joey, what was your number two?
My number two is actually this is a really great cover just because it's visually awesome. It's kind of creepy at the same time. It is Detective Comics 605. It is the Norm Breyfogle cover. It is number two of the Mud Pack. You've got Batman's suit just laying there, and it looks like mud just melted out of it. It's just, this is visually really creepy, visually awesome at the same time. I loved it. This is a really great cover here.
Yeah, I like that cover. That's a good story also. I enjoyed that story, but yeah, the bat suit is, you know, he's been turned into Clayface, or he's been melted by Clayface.
Yeah, this is really cool, really cool.
Yeah, I like the title, how the title was done, because the V is like almost the shape of a bat.
And I'm also proud of you, Joey, because you actually followed the instructions with this one.
Wow. This time.
So you're one for one, or one for two.
The other one had Batman in the title. Come on, guys.
Okay, my number two is Detective Comics 561, Ed Hannigan, and you have a big picture with the bat signal, and in front of the bat signal have Batman and Robin, and all you can see in the shadow of Batman is his symbol on his chest, and Robin you can see the R. But I really like that cover.
Oh yeah,
that's a great cover.
That is a really cool cover.
That was about the same time as mine too, right? Because it's a 75 cent.
Yep. Yep.
Cover price.
Mm-hmm. There in the late 80s. And I like the Batman Detective Comics starring Batman. I like the little Batman symbol, you know, the title.
Right.
That looks pretty cool.
pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I'd like to see homage to some of these, you know, Bat-Man or Batman in the title. That would be cool to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay. Ronnie, what's your number one?
Okay, so my number three, I picked a newer one. My number two, I picked my first ever Batman one. So my number one is my holy grail of the floppy that I want to get. And I love the cover also. And it's Batman 227. That's the Demon of Gotham's Mansion. And it's a Neil Adams cover. And it came out in December of 1970.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love how Batman's in the dark.
You see Batman back in the background.
Yeah.
You know, that was almost one of my picks there. But the first iteration of it, I think, where he kind of paid homage to...
Not sure about that.
Oh, yeah. It was the homage to, you know, it's Detective Comics 31.
Yes, that's...
Okay.
Yeah, where
okay.
Batman is standing in the background.
Yeah, and this one's pretty obtainable, like at cons and whatnot. But for me, I want it to be obtainable at like a bargain price.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it, I'm not going to find it for $5 or $10. You know, but
yeah,
I want to be able to find it for a good deal. Because I think at C2E2, Bill, I think we saw like four or five of them, but they were, you know, up there much.
Well. And you get to an issues where we have the first appearance of Ra's al Ghul, and it soars in price.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's only a few issues after that.
And then if you get it graded, you know, at a good grade, because then you'd have to, like me, I'd have to bust it open and free it from its dirty shell.
Right.
Oh, man.
Joey, what was your number one?
So my number one... I have to go back, and I have to go way back. Anybody out there owns this one, man, you guys are the ultimate Batman fan, because my number one is the first ever appearance of Batman, which is Detective Comics number 27. And this one is such a cool, iconic cover. I love this one, obviously, for obvious reasons, Batman's first appearance, you know what I mean? But this is really cool looking one. It's very nostalgic to the times. I just love seeing that Batman there picking up that guy by the neck. it's just an iconic cover.
Yeah, it's almost like his cape's a glider instead of an actual cape.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then, of course, you know, his grappling hook is to nothing on that one.
it's out of...
I guess it's down to me. My number one, and as I said, this is really difficult. There could have been dozens and dozens of covers that I could have picked. So this is the one that I really enjoyed, and it is Detective Comics 587, Norm Breyfogle. And you have Batman standing in the rain during a storm, and you have his cape, you know, blowing in the wind.
Oh,
it's
that
classic Norm Breyfogle cape.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. And he's all in shadow, except for the yellow oval bat signal.
Yep.
It's so cool. Rain around him. I fought myself between this one and the Mud Pack one, because I really wanted to talk about either of these ones. This one was going to be one of my honorable mentions, but this one's a really great cover.
Yeah, this one was my 3B, actually, but... So it's kind of cool that we all picked this one.
Yeah, this was, man, I think before we started recording this, I was telling you guys, I think a lot of mine would probably be Norm Breyfogle covers, because I really like his art a lot. I love the way he portrays Batman's cape. I love the way he kind of like, he doesn't, Batman's always kind of in the shadows a little bit. It's dark, most of his body's in dark cover. I really like the way he portrays Batman.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Plus, it's like in the late 80s still, so that was like impressionable to me because I was a little kid then. So,
yeah.
And
it's what gets grained into my mind.
And I actually have a special mention, because I can't just pick three. And mine is Batman 516, Kelly Jones. It's Batman holding a candle, standing on a hill of skulls.
Yeah, that one's cool.
Yeah.
I have an honorable mention, too. That's okay. Yep. Batman 234. And I don't know why, but like this one is just, it's outlandish and crazy because it has two faces. I'd say probably three quarters of the cover's two faces face.
Oh, yeah.
And that, and then Batman's like roped to the front of the pirate ship there.
Yeah, and that's actually Two-Face's return because he hadn't been in the Bat books for a long time.
Right, which is a pricey book to get nowadays.
Yeah.
Unless you got it for the cheap old price of 25 cents.
Yep.
I've got another honorable mention here. I want another Breyfogle cover, another iconic one that I always, I actually had this one as a screensaver on my phone at one point. It is Batman number 465. You see Batman and Robin up on a ledge and they got a spotlight on them. Batman's covering his face with his cape. Again, there you go. Batman, Norm Breyfogle, Batman in the shadows. You know, it doesn't really need to see his face very much. And it's such a cool cover. Yeah.
Any of those Norm Breyfogle covers at that time were incredible. Incredible. So, yeah, pretty good topic this week. I enjoyed researching, that's for sure.
Yeah, it got me digging into my long box, man.
it got me wanting a hardcover, like a hardcover book, like a coffee table book with just covers in it.
Yeah. That'd be interesting, right? Because, you know what? I think I heard that there's a show giving something away like that. I don't know. Did you guys hear something like that?
Interesting.
No, I didn't hear anything about that. Don't know anything about it. So we wanted to thank Ronnie for coming on our podcast here to do the topic of the week. And we can find you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem at all. And we can find you on the Absolute DC Podcast and Aftershock Central. Anything else?
Nope, that's okay. It. Usually.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, Ronnie. It was really cool.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It was really cool.
No problem. We'll have to do this again. Okay, we'll head back to the book.
Next book is Grim Knight number one, with writers Scott Snyder and James Tynan, artist Eduardo Risso, colorist Dave Stewart, letterer Sal Cipriano, cover Jock, a variant cover Gabriel Del Otto, assistant editor Dave Wagles, editor Katie Kuber, and group editor Jamie S. Rich. And Batman was created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger. We open this issue with the Grim Knight escorting a bound Jim Gordon through tunnels beneath Crime Alley. We also see a very different origin story. In this version, the shooter drops the gun and Bruce picks it up and fires, killing the gunman. This thrusts Bruce into becoming a gun-toting, killing Batman. He even rigs Alfred with an explosive in his neck. That's the kind of guy he is, Bill. In his version of Jim Gordon, he orchestrates a plan to capture Batman. Batman gets away by setting off incendiaries connected to Wayne Tech body armor that the policemen are wearing. Gordon is believed to be dead, but after many months, Gordon has been hiding as he was focusing on finding the identity of Batman. The GCPD raids Wayne Manor as Gordon comes out of hiding with proof that Bruce Wayne is indeed Batman. Now, present day, the Grim Knight wants to kill Prime Earth Jim Gordon for his Jim Gordon's deeds, but the Batman Who Laughs stops him just before he can pull the trigger. Man, what a story, Bill. What did you think about this one?
It was interesting. I looked forward to this one because a gun-toting Batman from the Dark Universe.
Right.
What are his motivations? What got him to, you know, pick up the guns? And you see right off the bat, you see the murders and you see Bruce Wayne's face. And the artists did an awesome job, especially with facial expressions and the reaction of Bruce Wayne. And the killer actually I guess he throws the gun. It almost looks like he throws the gun, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It's weird. I think the guy kind of like fumbles the gun and he's like, oh my gun.
Oh, yeah. Is he stumbled? Yeah.
But what's cool about this, man, I love this kind of art style of this flashback. It's almost like, is that kind of like watercolor style? It's really cool looking. I love it.
Yeah, it's really awesome. You see his tears when he picks up the gun and he just unloads.
Yeah, I love that one scene there when that one panel where you just see the gun is in focus and young Bruce is not in focus. He's kind of shadowy and you see his eyes just wide open as he's going to, you know, as he's going to reach for that gun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that scene, well, in the regular universe, Bruce is injured and the bat comes through the window.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he has guns laying around him, knives.
All over the place.
The bat comes through the window and he kills the bat. He shoots the bat outright.
Oh, man. Man, PETA is going to have a heyday with this one.
So, yeah, then he decides he's like the Punisher almost, except worse. I don't know who he's killing there. I hope that's not Alfred. He's burning people to death.
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty sadistic, man. He puts a stinking bomb in Alfred's neck. This Batman is just absolutely psychotic. He's got all these satellites all over the world and he can tap into everything and anything. We kind of saw that in the last Batman Who Laughs book where he connects everything together and he's, you know, he said that everything is his own kind of his, what did he call it? He called it like his own swarm or something like that. I forget what he said.
No, the other thing in this book that I really liked, I liked how they capture this Batman, you know, Jim Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
And they use the, you know, the bat signal as a trap.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool.
They trap him on there. But then when I was reading that part there, they were talking about, I spent the entire city's slush fund on Wayne Enterprises tech to mask their identities and to give them their body armor and stuff like that. And he says, why are you smiling? I mean, come on. When I read that, I was like, oh man, that was a bad move. You got him up on this thing and you trapped him. But this is the guy who, you know, has control over this tech. You know, and then all of a sudden everything on the chest of every policeman who's wearing this body armor just blows up.
Has a plan for everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really like this backstory. And I hope this guy stays around as a villain.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see him continuing after the story wearing the bat suit. I'd like to see him maybe wear something different.
Wear his own kind of thing. That would be really interesting.
But it definitely is interesting. And the artwork is totally awesome.
You know, then Alfred kind of, they kind of make it feel like Alfred's the one that gave them everything else that they needed to go and arrest him. I was like, man, you messed up. You should have pushed that button.
Yep.
I love, there's almost like a difference between, you know, the Grim Knights, world and then this world that we're in here with the Batman Who Laughs and stuff like that. So there's kind of like a different kind of art style, which is kind of cool.
Well, in his world, he never let any of these costume criminals come to light because he just murdered them before they had a chance. It's a different world.
It's pretty cool. I liked it a whole lot.
Yeah, it was a good story. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so if you didn't pick up this book and you've been reading The Batman Who Laughs, this is a pretty good one to pick up, I do have to say. I enjoyed this one. So.
I agree. It was a really good one. I liked it a lot.
So did you have anything else you wanted to add for this one?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. We will now head to Stump the Co-host.
It's time for the Batpod Stump the Co-host segment. Stay tuned while Bill attempts to stump Joey.
Welcome to Stump the Co-host. We got Joey Galvez here, and today we got some good questions for you. Are you ready to be stumped?
I'm not ready to be stumped. I'm ready to stump you. Well, I mean, oh. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way it works, but
no, I'm ready that doesn't for make any sense. No, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I'm ready to do something here.
So I got some questions here. See the questions?
Yeah, no. Can you slow it down a little
okay.
bit?
Okay. So as always, there's cash and prizes. The question, the theme of the night. The theme of the night is Elseworlds, Batman Elseworlds. Are you ready?
All right, that's fun.
You read all the Batman Elseworlds. You're going to dominate the series.
I memorized every single word, every single cover, every single thing. So I've got it all up in here.
Okay. Actually, I'm gonna list five Batman Elseworlds stories. One is a fake. Identify the fake Elseworlds story.
All right.
Okay. A. Batman Houdini. Batman teams up with Harry Houdini to fight child-stealing vampires in the 1900s.
Okay.
B. Batman Lobo. The Joker hires Lobo to take out the Dark Knight. Joker is forced to call him off after the revelation that Joker is Batman's long-lost twin, Joey Wayne.
I think I like that one.
C. Batman Castle of the Bat. Young Bruce Wayne attempts to resurrect his father into avenging Batman to discover who killed his parents.
Okay.
And D.
Oh,
Batman Sinestro, City of Fear. After Sinestro's yellow power ring picks Batman, he protects Gotham as the Yellow Lantern from Sinestro and his Sinestro Corps.
Okay.
And last is E. Batman Tarzan, Claws of the Catwoman. A 1930s Batman teams up with Lord Greystroke Tarzan to assist the priestess of an African cat cult in protecting her people's treasures from the two-faced-like mercenary Finnegan Dent.
Oh, man.
So we got Batman Houdini, okay. Batman Lobo, Batman Castle of the Bat, Batman Sinestro, or Batman Tarzan. Which is the fake Elseworlds
that's
book?
The fake one. That's a hard one, man. I'm gonna take a guess on this one. I want to. It's between Tarzan and the Lobo. I'm gonna go with Tarzan. How about that? Let's go with Tarzan. That's the fake one.
Tarzan, you sure about that?
I'm apparently not sure, but yes, let's go with that one.
Okay. You'd be incorrect.
Oh, man.
Actually, the Batman Tarzan team up was from 1999.
Oh.
The fake one was the Batman Sinestro, City of Fear.
That was
Batman
my first
Castle
instinct.
Of the Bat is from 94. Batman Lobo is from 2000. And Batman Houdini is from 1993.
Oh, man.
So 0-1, it's not looking good so far.
Nope, doesn't look like I'm winning this one.
No.
All right.
So, question number two. I'm going to give you a description of an Elseworlds book.
Okay.
A Batman Elseworlds book, and you're going to tell me which one it is. I'm going to give you four titles. You're going to identify this Elseworlds book.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
50 years into the future, Batman is dead, and the planet is within the grip of a plague set off by Ra's al Ghul, who uses Bruce Wayne's rejected costume designs to create a league of costume assassins.
Okay.
Is that Batman Brotherhood of the Bat, Batman Dark Allegiances, Batman Dark Knight Dynasty,
okay,
or Batman, the Doom that came to Gotham?
That's that's a hard one. Can you read them back to me again one more time?
Okay, we got Batman, Brotherhood of the Bat.
Okay.
Batman, Dark Allegiances. Batman, Dark Knight Dynasty. Batman, the Doom that came to Gotham.
Okay. I want to say the Brotherhood. or allegiances?
The Brotherhood of the Bat.
And let's go with that one, yes.
Is that... Okay. If you said the Batman Brotherhood of the Bat, you were correct.
Okay,
that was
good. I got
from 1995. One for one.
Yeah.
You did not win the cash and prizes.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately. You won a couple in a row. You did not win this one.
Streak
so what you
over.
Like?
The streak is
the
over.
The streak is over. The streak was faked, I think.
No, it wasn't. No.
Okay, would you like to know what you would have won?
Yes, I would have.
Yes. Oh, do you like secret societies?
Yeah, I'm not very fond of them. No.
Okay. Well, you would have won an invitation to join the Court of Owls. You know, secret meetings. You get your own owl mask. You okay. have to, you know, go to the 13th floor, hit that emergency stop between, you know, 12 and 14.
All right.
That's where your meeting is going to happen. But you'd probably have to shave off that beard because you'll definitely get recognized.
That's not happening.
With the beard behind the mask, so.
That is not happening.
So, yeah, that was Era Stump the Co-host, and he got stumped.
Oh, man.
Again.
Nah. Yeah, well, I had two in a row, so I'm...
Two in a row. Yeah.
And the streak will be back. I'll be back on streak.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
It will be back. I know it for sure. Yeah.
We appreciate everybody that listens to us, and so until next time. Our final book of the evening is Detective Comics 1001. Your writer is Peter J. Tomasi. Your penciler, Brad Walker. Your inker, Andrew Hennessy. Colorist, Nathan Fairbairn. Letterer, Rob Lake. Cover, Walker, Hennessy, Fairbairn. Variant cover, David Finch and Tamu Mori. Assistant editor, Dave Whalegos. Editors, Chris Conroy and Jamie S. Rich. And in this issue, the Arkham Knight has come to Gotham and brought the Knights of the Sun. Bats have been dying all over Gotham, and we get an ending that truly might be the end of Batman. So, what did you think?
Oh, man. This one, I think this one was my pick of the night. This one's such a good book here. This one was, when this came out, I said I had to go get this book. Because it's such a great, great story. It kept me intrigued. I really wanted to know what was going on with these bats. And then all of a sudden, some crazy beam of light comes out of nowhere. And then that part of the story is out of your mind because now Batman's getting beat up by these knights. And you know what it made reminded me of? It reminded me of like when you're watching a show or a movie and you're following the storyline and then something outrageous happens. And then the first part of that storyline is completely pushed out of your mind and you might come back to it like another time, another episode or something. That's the way this felt. And I was like, man, this is on. They are on it. This book right here. This is the way. Tomasi should have come right on right from the get go. I mean, I'm not downplaying any other books that he's written so far, but man, this one was such a good one.
It was a good one. I'm intrigued to see who this Arkham Knight is. And you right off the bat, he has some emotions about taking down Batman. I don't know if there's some kind of personal connection that, you know, in the past, him and Batman knew each other and something happened and this is the reason, because he thinks Batman is evil. If you saw Detective Comics 1000, he wants to take him out. And in here, he's got a sort of got Knights of the Round Table. They're yelling, burn back the dark, the Knights of the Sun.
Yeah, and this is interesting.
Interesting that the first, you know, mystery that comes up is all the bats in Gotham are dying for some reason. I assume it's related somehow. And Bruce is actually doing an autopsy on the bat.
And you see, I was kind of playing with you when we were talking about this, when we were texting back and forth about this book. And I was like, I don't know, what do we call it? What do we call this lady? Do we call her the man bat woman or the woman man bat? So I thought this was really cool. I thought Man, I really do love a Man-Bat story. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. The Man-Bat was interesting because if you're reading Justice League Dark, you know, that's where
Langstrom
has been.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for him not to be there.
Which is pretty cool. And they kind of mentioned that here as well.
And you see his wife and, you know, she wants to communicate with the bats and she's taken the serum before. So she injects herself so she can see what's going on. And, you know, Batman went to her to see if they can figure out why the bats are dying.
Yeah.
And she's literally a woman bat.
The whole time she's like the screaming, help them, help them. She can hear the bats like screaming in pain, which is,
I wonder if it's from the sun, you know, because they do this like solar bomb of some sort. And Bruce actually thinks it's a bomb, but yeah, they end up at the zoo because he's riding the woman bat. That's kind of cool how he's riding her with his little rope. So as soon as this attack happens with these Knights of the Sun, you're like, whoa, because the first thing that happens is Batman is flying with his, you know, bat rope and it gets snapped. Yeah, that's almost impossible to do. Whatever material it's made out of.
Yeah.
And this attack is so vicious. As I said, I don't know how he survives this.
Yeah, it's...
You know how many arrows he has in his body?
Yeah.
And I imagine it's just stuck into the armor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you could see there's parts of his suit that kind of come separated, and you can see the armor behind it, which is really interesting, too. I've never seen anything like that before in a book.
This is one of those books that you want to get to the next one right away. As soon as it's available, you want to read it.
Yeah, none of his weapons are working on these guys' armor, you know what I mean? But their stuff is working. He's saying it's going right through my armor. It's penetrating my armor. So seriously, these guys got serious weapons.
So I wanted to mention something here at the end. Arkham Knight says, it's time for the shadows to start running from themselves.
Okay.
And it got me thinking. Because, and I know this is probably way out of the box, it got me thinking about the term shadow self. And basically, shadow self, in terms of psychology, I know I'm going outside the box here, is a part of you that's hiding from everybody else. And he tells the shadows to run from themselves. So I wonder if it's something between him and Bruce that Bruce isn't proud of something that he's done. But he doesn't know who this is, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting take.
Yeah, it's just a thought. Just because of the dialogue, it had me thinking like that.
Super, super interesting. So what made you think of that? Did you take like a psychology class in school?
No, I just looked it up.
Oh, because that's a good observation there.
But you're wondering, why is this guy want to take out Batman so bad? There has to be a reason. You just don't all of a sudden, maybe you do, maybe a supervillain comes, hey, I want to take out the Batman.
Yeah.
But there's some other motivation. I want to see what the motivation is.
That's a serious take there. I'm definitely interested in seeing what's going on there as well. There's got to be something. There's got to be some kind of motivation why this guy is doing this. I mean, he's had to have some kind of serious planning to do this, because to have something that huge, he said something about the first device is done. You know, so that makes you he's got multiple, at least one more device. Is this solar bomb one of those devices, or is he speaking about a different kind of device?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But who knew that, you know, Bruce and Alfred were comedians?
What do you mean?
Well, Bruce is wondering why a different bunch of bat colonies died off at the same time. And Alfred says, perhaps they were tired of hanging around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good dad joke.
And then Bruce comes back and says, talking about their guano, and I guess that's how you pronounce that.
Oh, man.
And says, well, the high content of nitrogen, phosphate, and potassium, it should help out the garden well.
Do you use bat droppings in your garden, Bill?
No.
Oh, okay. What kind of droppings do you use then?
I do not use droppings. I think you're the only one that plays with poop, so... You brought it up. So, Brad Walker is the artist on here, is just amazing.
Yeah.
I've seen his artwork before. It's perfect for this type of story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. Yeah, that cover is pretty good. Awesome too, man. I really like seeing that, you know, the cover where Batman's standing on top of a mound of dead bats looking up with, you know, I mean, the Arkham Knight and his minions, his Knights of the Sun.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
So how do you feel about that new logo that you got there on that book?
I like it. I like the logo. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Batman Brave and the Bold, the animated series.
Yeah, it kind of does look like that.
But I like the blue in it.
Okay. Is that your favorite color?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite color, but I like how it looks.
I don't know if I'm too keen on the two-tone there. But I mean, it works. It looks decent. I mean, it's pretty cool.
And you know, I like a change to the titles after a while.
Yeah, they do. They tend to do that quite a bit.
Yeah, Batman, they haven't really done it in a while, but I like to see it once in a while. Okay, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. It was a pretty good episode. We had some entertaining segments there.
Yeah, it was fun.
Some good books.
It was definitely fun. I enjoyed a whole lot of it. It was a really great conversation. I think we had a really cool topic of the week. That was a whole lot of fun researching all those covers, man.
Yeah, that was fun. So, yeah, we wanted to thank everybody that has retweeted, liked, or posted on Twitter, Facebook, and such. We really appreciate it. Batman's 80th anniversary giveaway. We have the Batman cover-to-cover hardcover. All you have to do is give us an iTunes review, email us audio clip. You can call the Bat Phone. And what's that Bat Phone number?
It is 410-449-0650.
Tell us what Batman's 80th anniversary means to you. If you'd like to be a part of the Batpod, we have an email. Our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Also, you can send us an audio clip of that email. We'll play it right on the show.
And if you guys would like to get a hold of us at our bat phone. Yes, we have a bat phone. That phone number is 410-449-0650. Again, the bat phone number is 410-449-0650.
And we are on Twitter. It's at PodBat. I am at GothamKnight13.
And I'm at JoeyGalvez84.
Exciting. And we have an Instagram now.
Yes, we have an Instagram. If you guys are Instagram users or followers, come follow us. It is the Bat Pod. Just type in the Bat Pod and you'll find us. You'll see our logo up there. And it's just check us out over there. We'll post out our books that we'll be talking about. We'll probably throw out some really fun stuff here and there. So check us out over at our new Instagram.
So yeah, pretty good episode. So we'll go ahead and get out of here. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that was it. This was a really fun episode. I appreciate it.
Yep. We'll see you in about 2 weeks where we'll have more Batman, more Detective, and another book that we pick. Little topic of the week, Stump the Co-host. So we will
we're kind of playing around with another new segment here, guys. We're still kind of rolling around in our heads a little bit what we're gonna do. We do the character spotlight, but we might be doing something else here in the next few episodes. This one is not gonna have it because we're rolling that around to see what we're gonna kind of do. So stay tuned for that. That'd be fun.
Okay, so until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later. I'm gonna go get some more.
Thank you.